Live from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain, Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation, here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. 800-222-5222 is the number. Email Sam at samnation.com. A little bit of memory lane here. Indulge me in this, because I remember during the campaign, there was a point, and I think it happened sometime in the summer of 2016. And there were a series of missteps. Trump ran into some trouble during the campaign. I remember that at one particular point in time, he really lashed out at the media. I mean, he went out of his, he did what you aren't supposed to do. He went straight on, full frontal attack on the media. And my instinct at the time, I remember this distinctly. My instinct was, this isn't going to work. I mean, this is not what you do. This is a no-win situation. I don't care if you're the Donald. I don't care if you are the most media savvy candidate running in the history of whenever, which probably Trump was not, but it didn't matter. The media as an institution is vast, powerful, and honestly, they, you know, in the traditional model of campaigns, I'm really talking now specific to campaigns. I guess it could be applied elsewhere, but specific to a campaign. If you're running for office, what's conventional wisdom? You got to play the game with the media. You need them on your side. Without the media, you're hosed. And that's why candidates, you know, sit down with editorial boards at newspapers and then praise it. They're praying on, am I going to get this endorsement? Is the Des Moines Journal of I don't know, animal husbandry, are they going to endorse me? I'm joking. I don't know if there's such a publication, but you get the point. A little, you know, in the primaries, the little town newspapers matter. And so the candidates will prostrate themselves in front of these editorial boards and in the hopes that they get these endorsements. Whatever you do not get on TV or Twitter, for that matter, and attack the media. Why poke a bear? Especially, by goodness, especially if you're a Republican. I mean, conservatives, as conservatives, we are supposed to cower in fear. The media, let's go back before the internet age, is dominated, ABC, NBC, CBS, by established liberal monolithic thought. And so in almost a unanimous voice, this media was very used to dominating, and conservatives had to sort of play the game and do what they could. But certainly you do not walk up to this institution that has remained even in the internet era and go, hey, CNN, ABC, NBC News, poke. And that's exactly what Trump did during the campaign. And then I was not alone. Many others like me felt that this was a dangerous move, and it almost, I don't know, at the time, smelled of a certain amount of desperation. Yeah, what was going on? Oh, the whole Miss Piggy thing. You know, that woman that Hillary dredged up for, everything had been going well. She dredged her up, and Trump wouldn't let it go, and then the media attacked him for it, and he attacked the media. You remember. Well, I'm sitting here today, and the most amazing thing is happening. He's got the media a little bit on the run, because if you've missed it, there's a guy named James O'Keefe, and O'Keefe is a right wing provocateur, has specialization is in filming undercover sting videos. His organization is called Project Veritas, and he's most famous for the whole Acorn bust. You remember he produced these videos where he went himself undercover, dressed as a pimp, with, you know, dressed up so-called prostitute. He went in to Acorn, which was the community organizing group that had helped put Barack Obama in office, and then later had received federal funding of all things. And he sat down with these Acorn people, and the Acorn people were basically helping him on camera to set up his pimping business, for lack of a better term. So Acorn ended up going belly up because of it. And at that point, everybody knew his face. So since then, what O'Keefe has been doing is he's been hiring actors, activists, to go undercover, to embed themselves in organizations, and film malfeasance occurring in those organizations. Well, this latest victim now is CNN. And as if CNN could not have a worse week. I mean, I told you, we talked yesterday about the piece that they had to retract, apologize for. This is CNN Online. They launched a new investigative unit, and it was led by a guy named Lex Harris. And then they hired on into this investigative unit a guy named Eric Lichtbau. And Lichtbau, of all things, is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter who got hired away from the New York Times by CNN. I mean, this guy was recruited to CNN to, you know, apparently get qualified, at least on paper. And then there was a Thomas Frank. He's the guy who wrote the story. Tom Frank writes the story that the Senate was looking into a meeting between a member of Trump's transition team, a Wall Street finance guy called Anthony Scaramucci. Apparently, there was a link between him and an executive of a Russian investment fund. Well, it turned out if they'd done any sort of investigation into the story, they're an investigative unit, for Pete's sake, they would have found that this particular fund did not even belong to the bank in question. It's like saying, right, I understand they're all Russian names, but come on, these guys are investigative reporters. It's like saying the Bank of America Fund A is run by Wells Fargo, and you're not looking into it. Had one source. Anyway, the fallout from it, CNN had to apologize, of course, pulled the story. And then these three guys, including this prize-winning reporter who'd been hired away from the New York Times, were forced to resign. And we were all talking about this, and this is a huge admission for CNN to have to pull a story, especially one that had come from its brand new investigative team that was launched, particularly to probe this Donald Trump collusion with Russia story. And today, Project Veritas, as James O'Keefe guy, drops a first, and there's going to be more to come, but the first of several videos where an undercover guy is talking to a producer named John Bonifield. And they are, it seems, on the video, these are undercover, you know, undercover videos. And so he's there at one point there on some kind of an outdoor, I don't know, it looked like a beer garden or something, outdoor restaurant. They're talking. And the other video is of them in an elevator. And he and the Project Veritas guy, the undercover dude, I know it's a dude because I can hear his voice, but we don't know who he is. I'm sure CNN knows who he is. He had access. He apparently was working or was able to have some kind of a job working at CNN. But at any rate, he's got this Bonifield guy making stunning admissions. Basically, that CNN knows that they have no facts when it comes to Trump-Russia, knows that it's all BS. They use the real word, which when I play the clip, we've had to bleep out. But no facts, nothing, and that they're doing it all for the money. I actually think that that part of it is a little naive, and I'll explain that later. So here, here's the first clip. Here's the first clip of John Bonifield talking to the Project Veritas undercover brother, discussing the whole issue of the leaks and the veracity of the story. First, you'll hear the undercover guy, and then you're going to hear Bonifield's response to it. So here we go.
But honestly, you think the whole Russia is just like bullshit.
Could be bullshit. I mean, it's mostly bullshit right now. Like, we don't have any big giant proof. But then they say, well, there's still an investigation going on. And you're like, yeah. I don't know. If you're finding something, here we'd know about it. The way these leaks happen, they'd leak it. It'd leak. If it was something really good, it would leak.
And I've always made that point, right? There's nothing is secret in this administration. There are embedded deep state Trump haters that have access to virtually everything going on in that White House. If there was something big and explosive, it would leak. That's a great point. He makes it. They know it. But he admits that the whole story is BS. They don't have any real proof. And then what happens is he goes on and he says, look, this is, we're doing it for the money. We're doing this to, we're doing it to get ratings. And the part of it, when he goes on to explain the ratings part, this is really fuzzy audio. I'm not going to play it because it's tough to hear with some ambient noise in the background, but I'm mystified by that the most because I wonder if it really is that. See, this guy thinks it's about ratings. He thinks it's all BS that they know it, but they're doing it to juice up the story. But you got to think, what part of it is it for the ratings and for the money, and what part of it is a liberal bias? And what I'm getting at is, at the end of the day, the producers, the editors, right up to the CEO, Jeff Zucker, they are making decisions about what goes on air, period. What leads them to make that decision is anyone's best guess. And I think as I'm looking at this, and I've reflected on some of the stuff that's been coming out of CNN and other news outlets, they, in their minds, have decided, and it's the same thing that happened to Hillary, it's the same thing that happens to Democrats everywhere. They think that the bubble that they live in is absolutely representative of all of us, of the whole country. I mean, let me just put this, if you're CNN, do you want to just capture, I don't know, city slicker eyeballs, or do you want the whole country looking at you? You want the whole country. And the way you've succeeded getting the whole country is you give the whole country something. And I hate to break it to you, but half the country voted for Trump. You can placate yourselves all you want that it wasn't the popular vote or whatever. It's math. It's close. It's done. Half the country voted for Trump. And if you want to establish yourselves as the anti-Trump network, you're only going to get so many people on the anti-Trump side to watch you and go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And the rest, they already know everything that you're saying. They already believe it. You're just, what do they do? Turn it on and just to just, I don't know, have their own feelings reinforced. I will tell you from experience. I mean, people don't always just listen to this show, for example, because they agree with me. A lot of people, a lot of you out there, and I've heard from you, I love that. I love you for this. You disagree with me. And then we call in and we talk about it. And look, that is what media, that's what makes media more engaging. So I actually think that on some level they know. So they know the story's BS. But I think that they don't understand. I don't think they understand why they're doing it. They think they're doing it for the money and their ratings are up and up. But they're not. They're losing out to Fox News. Fox News is literally cleaning CNN's clock. So they're sitting there going, oh, yeah, we're doing great. It's the ratings. But then it turns out you got a little bit of a problem because the ratings aren't there either. So how does Trump fit into this? What's Trump saying about it? What was the White House reaction? And what does it mean? How do we kind of read the tea leaves here? I'm going to get in all that when we come back, because I think Trump's playing this exactly right. He's staying on message, and he in an unbelievable way is winning a war I thought was unwinnable. Gosh, amazed. All right, don't go anywhere.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation. Okay, so what is the response to the CNN undercover video from the White House? The video captured a CNN producer, John Bonifield, talking about their decision, CNN's decision, to run with this Trump-Russia story. And he admits it's all BS, that they don't have any proof, that there are so many leaks coming out of the White House that if there was anything big, it would have leaked already. And he's right. It's a great point. He also says, look, we're doing it for the ratings. Hey, sorry. And he says, in one particular clip here, he says, we were doing the climate, the pullout of the climate accords. We stayed on that story for 2 days. And my boss went into a meeting with the CEO, and the CEO, Jeff Zucker, said, all right, we're done with this. We're done talking about policy. Get back to Trump Russia. It was a direct order straight from the top. So the White House, this leaks out. It's gleeful. First of all, Trump Trump went to Twitter. One of his tweets 14 hours ago. So they caught fake news CNN cold. But what about NBC, CBS, and ABC? What about the failing New York Times and Washington Post? They are all fake news. So he didn't just say, all right, got my CNN scalp. See, he's not laying. This guy doesn't quit. Fake news CNN, another tweet. Fake news CNN is looking at big management changes now that they got caught falsely pushing their phony Russian stories. Ratings way down. And then, of course, there was a live on-camera press briefing, which has become a subject of controversy unto itself. And the Sarah Huckabee Sanders led it. I'm telling you, this lady is so effective. She is so effective. Here is her statement on the videos. And this is the first kind of mention of the White House response on this. So have a listen to what she says.
There's a video circulating now, whether it's accurate or not. I don't know, but I would encourage everybody in this room and, frankly, everybody across the country to take a look at it. I think if it is accurate, I think it's a disgrace to all of media, to all of journalism. I think that we have gone to a place where if the media can't be trusted to report the news, then that's a dangerous place for America. And I think if that is the place that certain outlets are going, particularly for the purpose of spiking ratings, and if that's coming directly from the top, I think that's even more scary.
Yeah, I remember thinking this a long time ago when John Edwards got busted with his love child, fathered by him with one Rael Hunter. You remember this story? Do you remember who broke it? It was the National Enquirer. And I remember at the time, at the end of a presidential race, and particularly biased reporting from mainstream media types, I remember thinking, what kind of a crazy universe am I living in? CNN is lying to me nonstop and making crap up. And on the other side, you got the National Enquirer breaking a legitimate story. So, yeah. And the funniest thing about this to me is that CNN has positioned itself as the alternative to fake news. They are the ones that are calling themselves so sanctimoniously as the great journalists of this era. And they go and they literally invest in a brand new investigative unit, paying these people, I'm sure, gobs of money. And the first or second deal right out of the gate is a total dud. Not only a dud, it's just made up. It's unverified. It's lazy. And so it's part laziness. And the other part of it is it's fueled by it's Trump derangement syndrome. It's fueled by such distaste and loathing for this president that normal filters that would be in place, normal restrictions that these people would put on themselves, they go out the window. They just are done. They don't want to do it. Okay, I know we got some folks hanging on. I will talk to you. I'm going to take calls when I come back from the break. Don't go anywhere. We got John Wolf up next with the news.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, live from our undisclosed location deep behind the orange curtain. 800-222-5222 is the number. Sam@samnation.com is the email. We have, let's see here, Morris in Long Beach. Morris, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Sam. Thanks for asking me. Hey, Sam, remember when Mr. Trump, the president, was on the campaign trail and he looked straight into Les Moonves' camera? Les Moonves, when he said that Donald Trump's not good for America, but he's good for CBS. But he looked straight into the camera and he said, Russia, if you can help us find those 30,000 emails that Hillary Clinton has lost. So they've got a relationship going on from the get-go. And besides, Mr. Trump had filed bankruptcy so many times in America, he couldn't get any money here, so he went to Russia, and he owes them over $100 million. Now, this is a fact. I'm not bad-mouthing my president. I'm just a student of facts. But, you know, the Democratic Party, they can't be jumping up and down talking about this Russia thing because they got a false narrative, too. They don't have a narrative. You can't tell me what the Democratic Party stands for. They're doing the same thing the Republicans are doing. They were saying, well, what the president is suggesting right now, what the Republicans are suggesting right now for health care isn't good, right? But the Obamacare isn't good either. And the single payer would save of $600 billion, right, and give everybody good health care. How come the Democrats aren't preaching that? Because they, too, are owned by the corporate dollars.
So, Morris, I wanted to, you make an excellent point here that I think is actually at the root of this entire, a lot of the press that Trump is getting goes back to things that he says that people are taking way too literally. Yeah, I've said this from the get-go. I think the key to Trump is understanding when he's being serious and when he's joking. I don't think for a minute, you get to tell me your opinion, I'm sure, but I don't think for a minute that if somebody's got deep ties to Russia and they're colluding behind the scenes and working out shady deals to take over the U.S. election, that he's going to be in the middle of a debate. Because I remember that moment. I remember when he said that. And it was funny. It was in the context of Hillary's missing emails and they couldn't turn up and nobody could find them. And he goes, well, hey, I mean, he'd been accused of being cozy with Putin. And it was a joke. And he did it with the smirk and he looked in the camera. Again, I think people want to hear what they want to hear. Do you disagree?
No, I agree with you 100%. People are going to always hear what they want to hear. But at the end of the day, now I do quite a bit of reading, Sam. The president's got, listen, the guy is indebted to Vladimir Putin. And I'm not mad at him because the other guys, there's no honor among thieves. There's no honor among thieves. So please don't accuse me.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, Ben. Ben, I really appreciate you calling. Thank you. And I'm glad that you're a listener and that you've called in. Let me address this because what's going on right now in Syria? I not to get off topic, but look. Trump has done literally nothing to help Putin in Syria. I think that I'm looking for it. I'm looking for instances right now where Trump is helping Putin or has helped Putin. Because if there's some quid pro quo relationship, I want to find out what it is. But the whole bought and paid for argument is nonsense. First of all, I know these stories detailing these bank transactions and stuff like that. The idea that Trump lost favor with U.S. banks and had to go overseas to borrow money is absurd. This is total made up stuff. The banks in the U.S. that worked with Trump, he went bankrupt. They went back to him and they did new deals with him. And he was because why? Because at the end of the day, in the end, he made the money. The banks made money on Trump. One. And the other part of this is I've seen the articles where he's selling real estate and he's bought, you know, he's got deals in Russia and he's I'm saying this till I'm blue in the face. These two countries' economies, especially on the East Coast, there's a lot of Russian money in this country. To think that it somehow buys you special favors, I don't get it. But if there are special favors, I want to see them. I haven't. All right. Out of time. Back right after this.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Sam Rogowski here. What do you do when they come for you? Just kidding. No. What do you do after a car accident? We talk about this all the time here. Any kind of injury. You know, chances are there's insurance involved. And you think that you're going to be taken care of because you see all the cute ads on TV and you hear all the fun advertisements on the radio. And you think, gosh, these people are so great. We've got this adorable little gecko that's going to take care of you. These good hands, right? Wrong. Not going to happen. Don't put any faith in them. Trust me, it's okay. I'm a capitalist, but insurance companies are in it for the money. You know, just like CNN is in it for the ratings. Okay? Insurance companies are in it for the cold, hard cash, and that's what they don't get to keep when they pay you fair value on your claim. We had Sweet James here in the studio, who's the lawyer we trust to fight insurance companies. What did he say? He said he was talking to an adjuster. And the adjuster said, first day on the job, they did a training and they told him, don't follow a moral compass. Crazy. Think about that. They're not going to do what's right. They're going to do what's right for them. So hire attorney Sweet James Bergener if you need help, which is if you get into any kind of injury, accident type of thing, you need to deal with an insurance company. Don't fight it alone. Sweet James Bergener, 800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021 or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation, we're back talking about fake news. And this today is a terrible week for CNN, absolutely wretched week for CNN. First, they had to retract a big story, which apparently Anthony Scaramucci, the subject of a threatened $100 million lawsuit. And they took it. They freaked out. This is the sources in the network says, look, they got a nasty call or letter from his attorney. I don't know if it was Sweet James, but whoever it was sent them a nasty threatening letter and they basically crapped their pants and said, quickly retracted it. And it's funny because Ben in Hermosa Beach, are you there?
Ben. Hi, yes.
Hey, welcome to the program. Speaking of retractions and $100 million. What, you had a point to make on this.
Well, it's interesting because something that sort of seemed to go under the radar was the New York Times had a similarly sensational and incorrect story, which they published on the 14th. Their editorial board published it and later retracted portions of it. And it was essentially accusing Sarah Palin. They couldn't help themselves after after this shooting, this unfortunate shooting with the congressman from Louisiana. They had to hearken back to the equally horrific shooting of Gabby Giffords in Arizona, and they made a point that Sarah Palin somehow had incited violence through a political action committee of hers where...
I remember this, and I've talked about it here. She sent out this this flyer that had a scope target on it, if you will, a sight, you know, like you would have on a rifle, and it was meant to target vulnerable Democrats. It wasn't meant to shoot them. It's a type of an ad, and I've seen. By the way, if you think, oh, but Sam, that was inciting gun violence. Nonsense. The immediately after this story ran the first time after the Gifford shooting. I don't know if you remember this, Ben, but a number of publications came out and found similar type ads that were being used by Democrats. Do you remember that?
Absolutely.
Sorry,
that they had crosshairs on the districts, not on people's faces, not on the candidates. And the New York Times in this article on the 14th said that they were on the candidates, and they had to retract that. And then they had to later on the 17th say that there's no link that she incited violence. And today she filed a lawsuit against the New York Times.
Yep, she did. How much? How much was that for?
Well, you know, the New York.
Yeah, number I had was $100 million. This just seems to be the number everyone picks when they're suing a big media publication. Ben, hey, appreciate to have you as a listener. I got to go out of time. I got a little bit more on Trump derangement syndrome when we come back, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. This is good. Stay tuned.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
You know, one thing that's interesting about these undercover CNN tapes that went online today is that CNN is not even denying that they're authentic. That's how I think we know that they're real. But they did issue a statement, and it reads, CNN stands by our medical producer, John Bonifield. Diversity of personal opinion is what makes CNN strong. We welcome it and embrace it. These guys are dumber than a bag of hammers. Nobody cares about it. It's not his personal opinion. It's what's going on at CNN. So, of course, in the tapes, as they play out, he says, I'm doing it. They're, you know, we're doing it for the ratings. We know it's all a bunch of baloney. We got to get back to it. We got to do it. We got to stay on the story because it sells. And I told you at the beginning of the show, I said, I'm telling you, look, that may be one reason for it. But that may be the justification for the real reason. And CNN, I think at the end of the day, they're suffering from the same Trump mad derangement syndrome that so many other leftists are too, where their normally semi-rational judgment goes out the window. Got a great example of this. Just to add it to our list of libs gone crazy or libs gone wild. I guess we could turn these into videos. With that said, I'm talking about Justice Ginsburg, Associate Justice of the Supreme Court. And she received a letter today signed by 58 House Republicans demanding that she recuse herself from the pending case before the Supreme Court related to the travel ban. And why? Because Madam Justice Ginsburg has gone on the record so many times hating on Trump, and specifically hating on this travel ban. Now, I want to make a really important point here. Listen up, because now if you get this, you'll be the smartest person in the room. What's the conventional wisdom about Trump tweeting? That it's creating more problems for him than it's worth, right? That's the conventional wisdom on it. For example, if Trump hadn't said anything about this travel ban, he wouldn't be in any of this trouble. Nonsense! They would be shooting this thing down regardless of what Trump did. But Trump, for legal reasons that I've explained earlier, you can get the podcast, I went into it yesterday. For legal reasons, I think he's going to be okay. My personal attorney's perspective on this is this thing's going to pass because the law is so black and white on his side. But the greatest irony is that Trump's tweeting and Trump's messaging and everything has so enraged a Supreme Court justice who should not comment about public policy, should not comment on politics, that she committed the cardinal sin, waded into a political debate, and now I think the law is clearly on the side of her having to recuse herself because she's required to do so, where her impartiality might be reasonably questioned. How's that for irony? All right, we've had fun, haven't we? Always great being here. I love you all. Back tomorrow at 7. See you then.
People. Talk Radio 790.
KABC.